Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you, the listener, a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in the studio, we're lucky to have pianist and composer Lynn Trudeau. Lynn, welcome.
Well, thanks, Ed. It's so wonderful to be here. I was so excited when you offered to have me on the show. So thank you very much. I love this.
Well, we love having your music, and you've always been such a good supporter of this mission of bringing calming music, you know, to people. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks for having me.
Okay. So let's just jump right in, if you don't mind. Tell me, Lynn, think back long, long ago. How did you get started in music?
Oh, that is a long time ago. For me, the music really was something I just had, just kind of a natural love for all things musical. But by the time when I was about 5 years old, I had been pestering my parents to purchase me a piano. And pianos are generally a pretty big thing to people have in their houses and an expenditure. And my parents kept telling me, no. And right about the time of my birthday, when I was about to turn six, it was a couple of months before that, the phone rang and I answered it. And it was a delivery person who was asking about the delivery of my piano.
And wow.
That nice. Was how I found out that I was getting a piano. And so it really pretty much started there as far as being able to do any kind of really formalized music. And I took piano lessons for many, many years, started shortly after my piano arrived. My mom already had lined up a teacher, who just happened to live around the corner from us. And she was a fantastic teacher. She was my teacher until I was about 15 years old. Which is, not always common that you can find somebody that can teach you for that many years. But she was absolutely fantastic. But it really opened up a doorway then to band and orchestra. And I was in every musical endeavor I could get my hands on. And my bedroom as a child was just filled with every imaginable instrument. I had saxophones and clarinets and flutes and guitars. And
oh my gosh.
I was any instrument I could get my hands on to learn to play. It was something I wanted to learn how to play. And I continued that very intensely all the way through my childhood.
I have a quick question for you, Lynn. What was the name of your teacher from 6 years old on?
Her name was Mrs. Obermeyer.
Nice. Here's to Mrs. Obermeyer, wherever she is. Because I tell you what, I see my piano teacher at my mother's retirement home. I treat her like a rock star that she put up with me for so long. So here's to Mrs. Obermeyer for getting you there. And for your parents, too, to get you a piano and have the foresight. That's really cool. Wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely, I think, hands down, getting an instrument was always my favorite gift to get. Many, many years later, after I had that first piano of my childhood piano ended up getting sold with the house when my parents sold the house. And I didn't have a piano then for several years. And my husband did something very similar. He made arrangements for a surprise piano to show up at Christmas one year.
You got to love that guy. Wow. That's great. Oh, that is very cool. Now, but also you mentioned you had a saxophone and other things. So do you play other instruments to this day?
To this day, I do have a clarinet now, but all the rest of my childhood instruments kind of went by the wayside. But oh boy, it sure would be fun to get back into playing all of those instruments. That would be something fun if I ever found the time to do that.
Oh, heck yeah. Now, when you were growing up like this and in the thick of the music, what at that time when you were a little girl, Lynn, what did you want to be when you grew up?
You know, it's funny. I really felt like I would always end up doing something in music. But mm-hmm. for a time when I was, probably late middle school, early high school, I kind of toyed with the idea of maybe becoming an accountant. But I think mm-hmm. music was really my passion, and that was where I really wanted to go.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, how did that musical journey happen from you're in, in grade school, middle school, high school, in the thick of music, and to becoming the pianist that you are today? Where did that journey, how did it happen?
Well, that journey took very much a long detour, is after living and breathing all things musical and playing about a dozen different instruments. Shortly after I graduated from high school, I had the plans of going and getting my music degree, which made perfect mm-hmm. sense given what I was doing. And, life kind of has a way of sending you on a different path sometimes. And mm-hmm. that was definitely the case for me. I ended up shortly after graduating from high school, I didn't have music in my life for many, many years. Children and raising a family became very important, and that mm-hmm. became my passion. And then mm-hmm. as my children started to graduate from high school themselves, and I realized I was going to have some time on my hands, and mm-hmm. I decided to re-enter music. I'd had a piano back in my life for many years, but it was something that I would have to steal moments in between child-rearing to sit down and play.
Right.
But I decided as they were getting closer to adulthood, it was time to come back to music. And mm-hmm. I spent more and more time sitting at my piano. And when my kids were, the last was in high school, I decided to start teaching.
And oh, cool.
Re-entered. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started teaching when we were living in Anchorage, Alaska. And I started teaching at a charter high school and was giving uh-huh. piano lessons there for the Anchorage School District. And then after wow. teaching for, probably about almost 16, 17 years in various mm-hmm. locations, then it was my husband was going to retire. And mm-hmm. I decided it was time to close my studio and get back to trying to become a full-time musician, and decided to start. I had been writing a little bit, but really decided to give it every opportunity. And so that happened in 2015 is when I released my first album.
Wow, you are doing really well for just releasing one in 2015 yeah. and just starting then. How many CDs do you have right now, or albums do you have right now?
I have 5 that have been released and 2 singles, mm-hmm. and I'm working mm-hmm. on album 6 right now.
Wow, very cool. You're working it. The kids go, look out, mama, huh?
Jeez. Well, I had a lot more time on my hands then.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So let's talk a little bit about what makes you the player you are today. Who influenced you, or who do you listen to as a pianist?
Well, my first introduction, obviously I had been trained in all the classics and some jazz, and had done a lot of pop and all different genres of music in my training. But it wasn't until I had been teaching for quite a while, and I kind of was listening to Pandora one day, and on the station came an amazing, beautiful piece by Michelle McLaughlin. And mm-hmm. I was familiar with her work, but hadn't really gotten captured by it until that one day where I heard it, and I literally stopped what I was doing to listen to it and just was so captivated by the style and by the music. And then mm-hmm. as I got to know more and more about her, and then I was introduced to Joe Bongiorno and to mm-hmm. Bill Patton and to David Nevue, and I just mm-hmm. really started to become just really just so excited about this solo piano. It never really occurred to me to really get into the solo piano. In my mind, up to that point, when I would think solo piano, I would always think of classical concert pianists.
Right, and, of course.
And this was just a whole new world for me. And then it became something I was spending a lot of time then teaching it to my students, which as then I studied it more and started to learn more about it. And it was something I was so drawn to that when it came time to decide I was going to do some of my own writing, that was, of course, the style then. I was so just madly in love with the style of piano. And that was what I decided to write with.
No, and you speaking, that's a good point. I want to bring up writing. I'm always curious with artists, what is, how does your writing process work? I mean, do you do this in your head or is it always at the keyboard or you tell me.
It's very, you know, every song has a, for me at least, has a very different process to it. But typically, I will just spend time with my piano. I will sit at my piano and I will just fiddle around. I'll pick a key. And sometimes I don't even pick a key. I just select some notes and I will just kind of start simply, you know, with maybe two or three notes and then expand it to 5 or 10 notes. And pretty soon a melody has developed and then I will start working with the bass. And I mean, it's just kind of just experimentation, sitting at the keyboard and finding a song somewhere. I mean, I will comment to my husband, I'll say, well, I'm going to go sit at the piano and see if I can find a song today. And, nice. And it really just kind of happens that way. Now, every once in a while, I will have something that will come to me in my head away from the piano. Mm-hmm. And then I have to immediately get to my piano and find it and develop it from there. That's less common. And every once in a while, I will have an idea in mind of something I want to write about. And so I will sit down trying to capture an emotion or a life experience. For example, we had just come back from my granddaughter's, her fourth birthday party several years ago. And I was so taken by this enjoyment of the simplest pleasures of life and the simplicity of being a four-year-old that I thought, I want to see if I could capture that. And after sitting at the piano for a relatively short amount of time, I ended up writing a song called Life at Four.
Nice. Very cool. I know from some of your work, I know you have one about being on a street in Paris or a cafe.
Yes.
Yeah, that you do capture vignettes of life, it seems like, in some of your work. That's really cool to hear. And I'm interested to hear that most of your time, it's sitting at the keyboard. I can also relate, by the way, to the dance of, I have melodies come into my head when I'm at the gym or I'm on the driving in another state. And so my iPhone is like full of audio notes. And then to try to run home and try to flesh them out. So I hear you on that. But I'm always so interested to see how artists eat. Everyone has just a little bit different of an approach on that. What was the quickest song that you wrote that you think you've had the most success with?
Oh, that's an easy one. Lunch with Vincent.
That's it. Uh-huh.
That was the one. And it's, you know, there are times when I find myself, you know, I'll be in the writing process and I'm agonizing over a song. It's like, oh, it's just not perfect. And then I have to always remind myself about Lunch with Vincent, because that was a song that I had completed, or so I thought, I had completed the album A New Dream. And I just, this gnawing idea that it wasn't finished. What did it need? And it had everything in it, I thought. And so I just was sitting at my piano and started fiddling around with something that I thought would be very different, which it was very different to anything else I've written. And out came this, I found this wonderful little tune on my, at my piano. And the name came secondary. It was, well, what is this making me think of? And I thought, well, this makes me think of being in Paris. And
nice.
And I wrote the entire song from start to finish in less than an hour.
Excellent. Don't you love that? Oh my gosh. And that is cool.
It is by far the most popular song. It's what I sell the most sheet music of. It's the song that it's incorporated into every concert I do because somebody will inevitably ask me to play it. So I just incorporate it in all the time.
And it's also on the River of Calm too. I know that song definitely. And that's what I was referring to, that street scene of Paris and lunch. Anyway, you just have a lot of visuality, if that's a word, in your music. I hear it from listening to it. So that's really cool on that. Now, tell me, out of all of your 5 CDs and 2 singles, and with the work of your parents, Mrs. Obermeyer, and your husband's piano gift, with all of that adding up, what out of your entire catalog is your favorite song?
Well, my favorite song is always a changing thing for me. It usually is oftentimes whatever my newest little baby is, whatever we're actively working on. Mm-hmm. But I think one that really captures a lot of what music is to me is it's very much it's a reflection. It's a time where I'm getting in touch with a memory, or I'm getting in touch with thinking about some place I've been or something I've done, someone that I love. And so it really, sitting at my piano and just reflecting is a lot of what I do. In the writing process, it's a lot of how I enjoy spending my time. I will tell people often that my life is captured at the piano. It's something that when I'm happy, I go to my piano. When I'm sad, I go to my piano. I work out. Anything that I'm troubled about is at my piano. And so I think that really it captures afternoon reflection is the one that mm-hmm. it really captures. And for much of the last year has been one of my favorite songs to play.
No kidding. Well, the afternoon reflection, I'm glad you explained that. And that really captures the essence, I believe. But I'd like to go ahead and with you and our listeners, let's take a listen to Afternoon Reflection.
Okay.
All right. And that was Afternoon Reflection from Lynn Trudeau. Very nice, Lynn. Oh, very nice work.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Now, and where can our listeners find your music? How many ways can we find your music?
My music is, boy, it's hard for me to even envision a spot right now that it's not. But an easy place to find my music is at lynntrudeau.com. So that's LynnTrudeau.com. And that, of course, is my website, and you can purchase everything there. You can also find it on the usual spots, Bandcamp and Amazon and Apple Music and all of the different retailers. But you can also hear my music, of course, right here on the River of Calm, which is a great spot for people to listen to it. You can also find it on all of the different streaming services, on Pandora and Spotify and and all of those different places.
Nice. And out of curiosity, with this music, I hear it, and it sounds like it's great for me for film and television. Have you explored that avenue?
I have. I have done a little bit of that. I have written some small things for an author. I wrote a theme song for his novel, and I've been certainly looking for ways to get my music used in different types of licensing types things. So nothing has quite completely come into the works just yet, but we certainly have some things we've been talking about.
Okay, that makes sense on that. Well, I think I encourage you to keep going down that path, because I think you have some great songs for that genre or that field. So with this, let's talk about the piano delivery, all the years in school of music, teaching all those students, and then coming into your own and you know, having the 5 CDs and 2 singles so far. Out of that whole span of everything, what musically are you the most proud of? If you could pick one thing, if there is one thing.
Well, it's hard to narrow it really, I think, down to one particular thing. I think it really, for me, it is more a matter of, I'm just really proud of the fact that I try not to let there be walls in my way. In whether it's, you know, when I was learning instruments, it was never, well, I can't do that. I think I'm just mostly proud of just that I've gotten out there and I've done it. I've tried it. I've not been successful at every single thing I have attempted, but I keep trying and I keep looking for new ways to express myself musically. And I'm always looking for new challenges and taking on all those different types of things. And it's just that I've been able to get out there and do that. And I'm also so incredibly proud of my husband for being able to open this door. I tell people often that I could not do this without my husband. He's my recording engineer. He is the one who makes it possible for us to be able to do this, because I'm able to record on my own piano at home. Everything up to and including, he was an active participant in when we purchased the new piano last year. I wanted to upgrade, and he was the one who came with me and sat and listened and gave his input. And I think if without all of his input, none of this would be possible. So I'm very proud of that.
That's trust when you bring him along to help with the input of purchasing a piano and listening to the sound. That's real trust. That is so cool. And he brings the best equipment too, brings you a piano, and you're actually using a USB mic right now. Am I correct?
I am. Yeah. Another one of the things that he's an electrical engineering by training. And so he understands so many of the very technical sides of things. And when I don't know what to do, he can always find a solution. And without him, none of this would be possible.
All right. We know Mrs. Obermeyer's name. What's your husband's name?
Alan Trudeau.
Shout out to Alan. Any guy that brings a piano home, what a guy. So thank you, Alan. That's really cool. Now, when you're saying you're able to go into music and not let barriers or not put barriers up, Are you fearless, or do you ever have any fears about your music or what you're composing?
Oh, all the time. I'm very much like I think everybody is, you know, we all have our insecurities and our fears about things. I think for me, the big thing has been just walking through it, knowing that I'm afraid. If one thing that a lot of people probably wouldn't realize about me is that for many years I had just horrible paralyzing stage fright. Really incredibly I shook and it was horrible.
Gosh, I would have never known. You seem like a total pro. I really do.
Well, thank you. And it's not a matter of that I don't get that I don't still get nervous, but I think it's, I just choose to see it as a challenge. And I forget where I read it, but I read someplace in an article about stage fright to redefine it instead of thinking of it as nervousness, is recognize that your body is having the same reaction as it would when it's really excited about something.
Wow, and that's a good way to frame that. That really is.
And so I just tell myself when I feel that my heart rate is accelerating and I feel that what you would think of as nerves, I just remind myself how excited I am and that I'm just really excited about sharing my music and I'm excited to see everybody. And it just changes my perspective in my brain. And now I can, you know, it's not that I never still get nervous sometimes, but I have ways of breaking that wall down for myself. And that's just been a really wonderful experience. I know I have grown a lot as a person through the music.
No kidding. And speaking of growth, I hope you don't mind me mentioning, you guys are doing your own house concerts there, correct?
We are.
At your home?
Yes.
Well, yeah, tell us a little bit.
I've got with myself and with my partner in crime here musically in the Boise area, in Boise, Idaho. His name is Joseph L. Young. He and I put our heads together a couple of years ago and started talking about putting together a concert series. And some of the concerts are here at our home. Others are at the Yamaha Gallery and the Steinway Gallery. And we do concerts all around the area, depending upon the artists that we've invited to come and perform with us. And it's called the Idaho Contemporary Instrumental Concert Series. And
very cool.
We pair with each concert, we pair a local musician who has instrumental music that they're looking for ways to share. And we pair them with an artist that comes in from out of town. And then they can learn from each other and help to bring an audience and awareness of instrumental music here in the Boise Valley.
So you're providing an outlet for instrumental music, but you're also mentoring the local artist with an older or a more seasoned artist. Would that be fair?
Exactly, yes.
That's very cool. And that's called the Boise. No, wait, tell me what the name of it is again.
It's called the Idaho Contemporary Instrumental Concert Series.
.com, right?
Yes.
Got it. Well, that's really cool that you're doing that. You know, it sounds, you know, sounds similar to our River of Calm concerts that we can talk about at another time. But that's, I'm glad you're doing that. So coming from deep stage fright to really being at the forefront and you know, promoting acoustic or you know, calming music and then also mentoring younger artists, that's a cool way to go. I have a question for you, Lynn. Mm-hmm. What's one thing that none of our listeners would know about you? What's this deep, dark secret you can tell us?
Oh, I don't have any really deep, dark secrets. Something that people would probably not know about me outside of my immediate family and my close friends from childhood is that when I was young and decided that going off to university was not in the cards for me right after school, I decided to open a daycare center.
Serious? <Yeah. laughs> Oh my God. No wonder you play calming music now. It's therapy. Oh my gosh. No, and how many kids did you have at one time?
Let's see. I think the most that I had was 35.
Oh my gosh! Oh God! Wow. Okay, so you definitely have patience built into you. It must seem.
Oh, it was such a wonderful time. I mean, I just love children, and it was fun. I got to play all day long with the kids, which was so much fun to do.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. You've got a good spirit about you about this. So I'm glad to hear that. I don't know how I would be, but I'm glad you were there and you experienced it. Now, if I could wave a magic wand for you and grant you, or the universe could wave a magic wand and grant you one musical wish, what would that wish be?
Oh, boy. Oh, I have so many things that I have yet to accomplish that I'm hopefully going to be able to do someday. I think probably one of the simplest wishes that you could grant me would be to have the time to go back and finish my studies on a wonderful, beautiful pipe organ. That was an instrument that I had really was enjoying studying, and when I was in my youth, and I never felt like I completely mastered it. And I would love to go back and do that. Now, finding a wonderful, beautiful pipe organ isn't super easy, especially not in this area. And then try to find somebody who can teach it. That's doubly more difficult.
Right. But if anybody, and I mean anybody, could come up and deliver a pipe organ, it would be your husband, Alan. I'm sure of it. Wow. I had no idea that you were a fan of the pipe organ. So
love it. It was just, I was taught on the beautiful, this huge, huge pipe organ that we had at the church when I was growing up. And I absolutely, you would literally climb inside of it. It was such an overwhelming experience to play this. It was such a beautiful instrument.
Oh, no kidding. I know here in Nashville at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center, they have a pipe organ. It took 2 years to install. I don't speak pipe organ like you would. So I'm just saying, when you say you could climb into one, I understand what you're saying there. All right. So I have one final question. And I listened to a podcast by Tim Ferriss. He has the 4-hour work week. And in one of his questions for his podcast guests, he always asks, if you had one billboard to spread your message across the country, let's say that in every city there would be one billboard in a prominent location just for you, what would your billboard say?
Oh, I think really it would be just to be open to the possibilities. And by that I mean just open to the possibilities in everything and in everyone is, you don't know what you're going to enjoy until you give it a try. You don't know who you're going to enjoy until you spend some time with them. You don't know where you're going to enjoy living or being or going to as a vacation until you give it a try. So it's just be open to the possibilities.
Excellent. I love that. That's very cool. I could see that one being an icon of billboards for all of us on that. Now, lastly, where do we find your music again? Your website is
lynntredeau.com, lynntredeau.com. And then at all of the different retailers, you can find it at Bandcamp and Amazon and Apple. And of course, you can hear it streamed right here on the River of Calm, and then Pandora Spotify. Mm-hmm. And you can even find Lunch with Vincent on Sirius XM.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. It's a behind-the-scenes look at pianist and composer Lynn Trudeau on the River of Calm's Beyond the Music podcast. Special shout-outs to Mrs. Obermeyer and to Alan Trudeau also. And I'm your host, Ed Basil. And the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And may the calm be with you.